A bill proposing time off for women who have suffered pregnancy loss has been debated in the Shannon yesterday. The Labour Party's reproductive health leave legislation would allow women who have experienced an early miscarriage to access up to 20 days paid leave. When accessing reproductive health treatments such as IVF, it would also allow up to 10 days leave. A maternity leave is currently offered to women who miscarry after 24 weeks of pregnancy. And joining us now to chat about this is Gemma O'Gorman. Gemma's from Killaloe, and Gemma suffered a miscarriage and also lost her baby boy at just 9 weeks old. Good morning to you, Gemma.
Good morning.
Thanks very much for being with us. I just briefly mentioned some of your story. Would you mind telling us it in detail, if you don't mind?
Well, back in 2019, in January, I was 9 weeks pregnant and I went through a miscarriage. I was originally in the hospital in Limerick and they gave me a choice whether I could go home basically and allow the process to finish up or go through surgery of having a D&C. Now in fairness, I opted to go home and basically be at home and whatever else, and the whole process started properly once I got home, and I actually passed everything that needed to be passed. But I had to take a week off work because I chose to go home. I was required to go back in a week later for them to scan me to make sure that everything actually had passed, so that I didn't have to go through a D&C at the end of it.
It's amazing, isn't it, Gemma? Because having a miscarriage can be such a traumatic experience, and neither of those options is ideal, to say the least. And trying to have to deal with it while, you know, having to go back to work after a short period of time.
Yeah, well, in fairness, though, like I took the week off work, and I wasn't paid for it. I had to go through social welfare to pay for sick leave, which obviously then, with their own rules, basically says the fact that you don't get paid for the first 3 days. Sure, I only work 5 days a week, so I was only getting paid effectively for 2 days by themselves. But trying to process going through the miscarriage, because unfortunately for myself, it was a bit of a process because it started actually on New Year's Day for us and it ended on the 9th, basically. So it was a bit of a process to get there. It wasn't just overnight kind of thing. It was a bit of a process for us to go through. And while we were being scanned and being checked, told things were so far okay, we're seeing things that are positive, in the sense of the fact that there was still technically a heartbeat that was there. In the end, basically, when I went in, I had to be kept overnight because they don't scan after 5 o'clock, because the clinic was closed. So I had to stay overnight because I live in West Clare. I live in Kilmurry McMahon. So I had to stay in Limerick Hospital for them to scan me the following morning. And then I had 3 doctors effectively say, "We're sorry, there's no heartbeat." And then we were given the options basically to go back up to the room and given the option basically. And I chose to go home. I didn't want to go through surgery. Surgery itself has its own risks.
You're going through a 9-day, really, really long experience, which no doubt was traumatic and stressful, and then having to deal with knowing that you're going to have to take time off work, it's going to be unpaid, and as you say, what's covered is only 2 of the days. That just adds to the stress and trauma of the experience, I would imagine.
Yeah, well, initially it was just more of concern over myself, to be perfectly honest. The financial thing came after. I worked in childcare. I actually worked up until the day I went to the hospital. I continued to stay at work, basically, trying to keep as normal routine as possible, because otherwise I think I would have went insane, staying at home going, what is it? If it is, what do I do? Whereas I kept busy, and I went to work for the first few days of the new year, until I had to go into the hospital, and I left work. I went into my boss and said, "I'm sorry, I need to leave now. I need to go up to the hospital." And they were like, "Okay, no problem," kind of thing.
They were
understanding, obviously, that, and thankfully the staff there were actually very understanding. Now, in fairness, the manager is the only one who knew I was going through the process. No one else knew until after I returned to work. And again, some people were like, "Are you okay?" Others were like, "I don't even want to ask in case I upset you."
Yeah. Shortly after this, you know, traumatic experience, you received the good news that you're expecting a baby boy?
Yes, correct. In April, I found out I was pregnant. And that was, obviously, I was delighted, terrified, counting down the weeks to get past week 9, then counting down to week 12 so I can go in and get a scan to make sure that everything is okay. And then through the whole pregnancy, then obviously I was still wondering, is everything okay? I suffered from hyperemesis, which is extreme morning sickness. So I had to basically, I got a 20-week scan done privately because Limerick don't do 20-week scans for public patients. And everything seemed normal. And then I went in for my 32-week scan at Christmas and we discovered that Micheál had issues. We didn't even know anything until officially he was born, and they could actually check him out and scan him. We knew nothing. But like, for people who've gone through miscarriage, like there's going to be several people that in a year that will have a miscarriage probably twice or three times in the year because they really want that baby. And for us, we were able to get pregnant again and go on and have a baby. Unfortunately for us, it was a sad ending because while we had our baby, which we were delighted with, because he would have been 2 on Sunday, it also met with great sadness because we knew the fact that once he was born, we knew then that it was life-limiting if his condition was, because it's a rare genetic disorder.
Yeah, and I have to say, Jen, my heart goes out to you having that, you know, follow on, you know, the joy of the news of expecting after the traumatic experience of a miscarriage, and then for that to happen just caps off what sounds like just an awful period in your life.
Yeah.
And you know, you look at this bill, I mean, it's good that it's been debated and hopefully we'll see it come in, but do you think that it should be extended to include compassionate leave, which at the moment it's not statutory, that, you know, in your position with Micheál, where, my Lord, you'd need so much time to process everything that's happened to you, that the compassionate leave should be part of it?
I think so. I think actually more so, and ironically enough, I think I was reading it up last night because I just read up on it. It's for women who actually have suffered miscarriage. Without being funny, and I'm not trying to start another in the second debate or whatever else, but what about the fathers? The fathers are equally going through this trauma and whatever else, but they don't actually seem to be entitled to any time off. No. They should be entitled to some form of compassionate leave, because while their body is not going through it, their mental health is going through it, because they've now suffered the loss of what should have been a joyous 9-month period of having it and then having a bundle of joy in their arms.
I couldn't agree with you more, Gemma, and very well said. And look, we appreciate you coming on. It can't be easy to tell your story, but you've done it really well and you've explained it well, and we appreciate your time on Morning Focus. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you so much.
And take care. That's Gemma O'Gorman, living in Kilmurry, McMahon from Killaloe, telling us her story there, and a big thanks to her for doing so.